tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if need be, it is an idea for which
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
So we are joined by Simpiwe Mantanzima, the Bulls prop. Sim, welcome to the bench warmer.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for having me here.
Cool. Before we start, can you just share your rugby journey from Queen's College? Obviously, you played with Oyao and Hollis and all of them. Now you are obviously at the Bulls. Can you just share your rugby journey from high school days to where you are at the moment?
Obviously, like you said, I played at Queen's College with Yao, and then that was in 2015, I think. And then after that, in high school, I got a contract offer from the Bulls when I was still 18. Then I came here in 2016, worked my way through up the age group levels, and the 19 and the 21, Super Sport Challenge, Super Rugby Carrier Cup. So yeah, that's how it happened for me.
Then, you obviously, as we mentioned, you come from Mokoma in Queenstown, a very small town. I spoke to Musango Kamlasha a while back. Obviously, he was the Tuxa captain, winning captain of Varsity Cup, and he captained the first game in the Carrier Cup for the Bulls. Now, do you want to share how it's like moving from a small town to such a big city as Pretoria?
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was tough in terms of like actually being tough, but it was a bit of an adjusting period, you know. Obviously, like, Queenstown is very small, you know, everyone knows each other's business, you know, it's a very small town. Then coming to Pretoria, where it's a big town, you know, and coming from a black home, you know, parents always like, you know, when you go to a big city, you know, you gotta remember what you're there for and everything. I think that's the most important thing coming from a small town to a big city. You got to know like what you're there for and 100%. Just focus on that.
A while back, actually, you had a serious, I think it was Achilles tendon injury. Obviously, you were out for a very long time. Give us your experience on your journey when you got injured, from when you got injured to where you are at the moment.
Yeah, it was a very untimely injury, because last year was a very tough time. You know, I played one Super Rugby game, then I got injured after the game. I was out for about 4 months with a shoulder, an AC joint. Then I started doing my rehab. Then obviously it was lockdown and everything. Then we changed coaches at the Bulls. And when we started training again, I think it was the third week, because we started with a conditioning phase, I think the first couple of weeks. The third week, as I was training, coming back from the shoulder injury, I ruptured my Achilles tendon, which was a very serious injury. So, it was a tough period for me.
But talk us through the recovery, the road to recovery from when you got injured. Then just talk us through the surgery, how long were you out for, and how long did you do your rehab for?
Flip, it was tough. I'm actually thinking about it now. Like, when I saw my specialist, initially he gave me a time frame of 6 months from what he saw from the MRI. Then I went for the op. I think the op was supposed to be about 2 hours. It ended up being almost 3 years or something like that. Then when I came back, he told me, he's like, when they opened it up, they found out that it wasn't actually torn. It almost blew up. So I'm sure you're not a medical person, so I don't want to go deep into the...
No, you can go ahead. I studied HMS, Human Movement Science. It's basically like sports science. So you can go ahead. I understand a bit of your human anatomy. You can go ahead. You can share a bit.
Yeah. So basically, normally an Achilles rupture will tear in one place. Just snap. Mine blew up, so all the fibers were loose. And there's actually like pictures I've posted on my Instagram. It was very... When you look at it, you kind of see that everything was like messed up, basically. It blew up. But yeah. But then he told me, look, you know what? It might take 9 months, might take a year, but you'll be fine. You know, he was very confident about that.
Yeah. And then talk to us about the recovery period. I mean, your rehab at the HPC in Pretoria.
Yeah, it was a long time. I think my rehab was about, I think, 10 months, just purely on the rehab side. But yeah, you know, with rehab, I always say there's three different parts or stages of an injury, you know. There's a point where you get injured when you know you're going to be out for long. Then there's that second stage is when you start the rehab, you know, you feel good initially because you feel like you're progressing.
Yeah.
Then you know you're going to be there for a while, and eventually things do stagnate. You know, you do get a bit frustrated because it's the same thing over and over again. And the third part is actually the hardest part, is when you actually start running. Because in your mind, when you start running, you feel like you're close, but actually you're still very far away from actually doing rugby-related situations. So yeah, that was more or less my rehab.
No, but good on you though, because I mean, Achilles injury is very tough and it's very hard to get back into. I mean, it takes a lot of strength mentally. So good on you as well. Now I move on to the next thing. I remember when I went with my family to Ecofimbaba. There was a funeral Ecofimbaba, and then one of the surnames that popped around was Matanzim. Do you mind sharing a bit about your surname? I think it was a grandpa who's a chief. In the area, just talk us through about your surname, Matanzim.
I don't really know what to say, Flip. I don't. It's not something I really like. It's whatever, you know. That's how I always looked at it. So,
but just share a bit. What's the a lot of people are talking about the surname of Matanzim. It's actually quite a big surname in the Xhosa culture. I'm sure you know. As well, do you mind sharing a bit? You know. About the surname.
All I know is my grandfathers were prime ministers of the Transkei back in the apartheid era, and royal clan. Matanzi, Madiba, Umthembu. But yeah, that's have much.
I think you don't really want to share a bit about it, but anyway, let's move on. You obviously were doing a rehab, and then obviously preseason as well during COVID. Do you guys struggle as a team? I mean, for you personally, and for the team as well, how did you guys adapt through COVID with training, and for you as well with rehab?
Yeah, it was very tough actually. Like personally, when I came back from the December holidays. Back home, I was just about to start running. That was that part of my rehab. I got COVID, so I couldn't do anything for 3 weeks. So that kind of stalled my progress for about 3 weeks, you know, my time period for returning to play. So that was very tough. And for the team, it's always tough because especially at that time, you know, you can't select the best team that you want to select because someone is for COVID, but then that also helps. You need to adjust, you know, that's where squad depth comes in. So, yeah.
Obviously, you guys, today we're meant to play against, I think, the Cheetahs, am I correct?
Yeah, that's
so right. The game got cancelled. What actually happened? I mean, you obviously know the insides of what actually happened, why the game got cancelled.
No, actually, we saw like everyone else. I think it was, they said it was a COVID issue, but yeah, sent us a message in the group and yeah, they told us it's canceled because of the, something happened with a COVID related issue to Chiefs or something like that.
So what happens now for all the guys who don't really know much about the rules of COVID and Curry Cup? What happens now if a team can't really field the team on that day? What happens? Do you guys get full 4 points or what's the story?
Chief, I don't want to lie. I'm not too sure. I'm a rugby player. My job is to play rugby. That's all I know.
Fair enough. I see on Instagram quite a lot. You share quite a few stories with Connor Hendricks. Do you mind sharing your guys' relationship between you and Connor Hendricks?
Yeah, like he's the heartbeat of the team. You know, he's such a clown. You know, it's actually interesting when people watch him play and when he is like off the field. It's a complete contrast. You know? But yeah, he's one of the guys when I started playing Super Rugby, you know, I took a liking to and he took a liking to me. So yeah, we've got a nice friendship. You know, it's always banter and jokes with him.
Yeah. Now let's move on to his form in the Super Rugby in the Curry Cup. Do you mind just giving us a brief a review on his current form and how he's performed for you guys at the Bulls?
Yeah, he's been immense, you know, ever since last year. The move to center really brought out the best in him. You know, he's been immense for us. And his consistency has been unreal, you know. Game in, out, every time he plays, it's consistent. So, yeah, that's been massive for us.
You were earmarked to be involved in the Springbok setup. But I'm not sure if anyone told you, but you were earmarked to be involved in the Springbok setup before you got injured. Before you got injured, did you have any ambition in representing your country for the Springboks?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a professional rugby player in South Africa and you don't have ambition to represent your country, there's something wrong, you know. So I always, since I was, if you play rugby and you want to play rugby professionally, I feel almost like it has to be your dream, you know, and I always had aspirations, you know,
for sure,
to in my country, and I still do. So yeah.
Speckman, I'm sure you played with him, and maybe against him. He obviously now he will be playing his first game for the Springboks this coming weekend against Georgia. Now I know Jake White. I know Jake White's sons. His two sons. We're pretty close. But how is it like being coached or playing under Jake White?
Yeah, it's immense. It's immense for a young player, you know, to actually get to learn a lot from him. He's a World Cup winning coach. He's won wherever he's gone. And he's had an immense impact on the pool since he came here. So just to actually, you know, get some insight, you know, be coached by him, learn a couple of stuff. It's amazing for him.
Well, and then one last formal question. The Lions played against the Japanese last weekend. You guys will be playing against the Lions in the coming weeks. What did you take out of that game against the Japanese last weekend against with the Lions?
We haven't actually gone, like, reviewed the Lions yet. You know, we're supposed to play the Cheetahs yet. So I think we're going to do that sometime this week.
No, but your opinion, though, like, your opinion of the game?
I didn't watch much. I don't watch much.
Okay, cool. And then let's move on to the quick fire questions. In the last bit of the show, we like to ask quick fire questions, very informal. So let me know when you are ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah.
Cool. First question, your role model?
I'm not sure about role model, but the one athlete you look up to? I look up to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on to next question. And then I'm sure you can answer this one. Your rugby idol?
Tendai Beast Mthauli.
Best coach you've played under?
I think my high school coach. My high school coach.
Who's that?
Second team coach. Mr. Prinsloo.
Okay. Hardest player you've played with?
He's long actually list. Tricky. Let me think. Hardest player
that you played with?
I'm gonna say Alan Latour from the Brumbies one. I scrummed against him. Played against.
Oh, teammate.
Played with.
Yeah,
Dwayne Formula. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously you answered against. It was that hooker from the Brumbies.
The prop, title prop.
Title prop. Okay, cool. And then favorite roommate on tour?
Lizo Kopok.
Then last question. Tomato sauce in the fridge or in the cupboard?
The fridge.
Sim, thanks for joining us on the bench, Warmer. We look forward to watching you progress through the ranks, and hopefully one day you can present the Springboks and represent your country and your family as well. So thanks again for joining us on the bench, Warmer, on Madiba's Radio.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Fikile Mbalula, commonly known as Razzmatazz Mbawizi Fikile on Flick. You are listening to Madiba's Radio. Keep rocking the Metro, Nana. Let's go.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Good morning, Mr. Rasmus. I don't know you well enough to call you Russi, but can I ask you, sir, how worried are you about this COVID outbreak? Could it have a terminal impact on the tour, also given what's going down in Gauteng and with anticipation of the president's address tonight?
Yeah, thanks. First of all, sorry for being a few seconds late there. No, valid questions. But I think, to be honest with you, you can call me Rasi anytime. Valid questions, and no, you know, we have got, just to give some perspective, you know, we've been in camp for 3 weeks. And, you know, today is the first day that we really can assemble if you take Regulation 9 and we can actually get our camp together with all squad members, you know, players playing in France, players playing in Premiership and so on. So today is the actual first day where we can actually get them in. And obviously there's always a chance for guys coming in from all over that there might be an infection or a positive case here or there. So first thing first, just to say and maybe answer a few other questions as well. In one breath is that, you know, we've got 3 positive cases, as we said. All of those have to be confirmed. And this is the protocol that we follow because we in British and Irish Lions series time now, and we fall in those protocols. You know, we immediately advise the committee, we should look after those things, the medical committee. And, you know, we just in our rooms now currently just waiting for the next steps. I really don't think it's a big worry in the sense that it has been the first time where guys from all over has been together. And yeah, I'm fairly confident that it's an isolated case. You know, none of them are having symptoms. We'll do retesting and listen to what the medical committee tell us to do.
Thank you, Rasi. Ken Bolin, you're up next.
Thanks, Ryan. Good afternoon, Rasi. Can you just tell us this medical advisory committee, presumably they're people from both South Africa and Britain sitting on it, and without, you know, trying to get the identities of the 3 guys, were these guys overseas-based players who obviously have to come through airports and that sort of thing to get you?
Okay, no, look, you know, we don't want to have secrets there. I'll tell you the 3 players is also, you know, so the medical advisory committee is obviously made up of both South African Alliance people. I mean, both our CEOs is on it, my CEO and the Alliance CEO. And the moment we got our positive results or the positive result of the players, and there's not one management at this stage, so that's lucky. You know, it was late last night. We obviously informed our CEO. And the committee, our doctor advised the committee. So both sides are obviously represented on the committee. And it's Sabun Kosi and Vincent Koch and Herschel Yankee. So it's a mixed bag. You know, Herschel is, I can't give medical advice, but everybody had known Herschel already had COVID this year. And you know, Vincent is coming from a board. And then Sabu was with us in camp for 3 days. So yeah, there's no secret or something dark or sinister about it. They're just unlucky. You know, they reassembled here, and you know, they're not so showing any signs. And we just here in our rooms, wanting to make sure that we follow protocol and waiting for the committee to tell us exactly what they want us to do next, which I think we will have in the next couple of hours.
Thank you, Russ. Jan de Koning.
Thank you, Jan. Rossi, yeah, sorry. It's more of a follow-up, and I'm sure most of the questions are going to center around this. In terms of contact, have these three players been in contact with the rest of the squad, or is everything just busy sorting out? Are you going through all those protocols and those issues at the moment?
Yeah, I can luckily say, you know, I'm sure my doctors and medical team and CEOs are, when you ask questions like this, they think we shouldn't go too deep into it, and I won't because I'm not an expert on this. But I can tell you that the medical protocols or COVID protocols which we follow is very strict, you know. So the moment we reassembled at the hotel, you know, we weren't allowed to go to our specific rooms for until we got the PCR test, and that makes it easy, you know. So obviously, as the guys got in, everybody was following protocol just to make sure if there was an case like that, that, you know, the risk is minimum. But obviously, people travel here, and you know, there will be contacts and there will be close contacts. But at this stage, as I say, we really feel it's to the minimum. You know, it's so easy to control because we followed protocols. When the guys got to the hotel, they couldn't even go to their rooms, you know. They had to, because the whole hotel is sanitized and actually a zone on its own where nobody can come in and out except us. So we're staying on our own in the hotel. So, yes, a long-winded answer, but there would have been contacts, but I think there couldn't have been anything done differently to make that to the minimum.
Craig Ray, you up next.
Afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Rayon. Rossi, just on a technical point, how long between the PCR test being taken and getting the results do you guys generally? I mean, I know for most of us in the general population, it's 24 hours. I presume it's quicker for you guys.
Certainly. I guys, you must WhatsApp me or tell me when I'm treading on waters, which I shouldn't. But you know, it's set up and with the medical advisory committee and, you know, the Lions and Saru and Sares, who's running the whole Lions series. We are under strict protocols. You know, the whole hotel, the guys are in individual rooms. You know, we've got on-site people testing us here, so the turnaround time is still long. The guys have to wait downstairs much shorter than the general public because, you know, we're getting foreigners in here, which we want to keep 100% safe. And I think it was between 5 and 7 hours where the guys had to stay downstairs. So pretty quick compared to the normal people.
Yeah, but it's still not fun.
that's what it takes to play, you know. We're willing to do that.
Thank you, Rossi. Thank you, Craig. Supersisho, you're up next.
Hi, Rossi. Hard luck about the bad news. But is it too early to tell whether the Georgia first test will go ahead as planned? And what does it mean for the other training sessions in the week?
No, yeah, fair question. I don't think the Georgia test match, in my opinion, you know, just from following the natural flow of how things happened and when the guys left last Thursday and the new guys coming in and who was in contact with who, you know, we've got a squad of 45 players, especially for that reason. You know, we've got guys playing against the Lions next week at our provinces, you know, so we will never have not enough players to first of all play. And even if our players inside the camp are positive, you know, we can draft a player from the outside in who's anyway on a testing regime currently with the provinces. So I really think it will be 100% bad luck, and it will probably be something more external that makes that decision. But I can't see that, you know, we will have enough numbers. You know, the Georgians came in today, you know, even if we have to pick totally a new team, you know, these guys at the provinces that will be fit to be available and be the Springbok team. But I'm fairly sure out of this group of 45, you know, I think there's been very few guys that are really actually infected.
You too, Cheryl. You too. Thank you, Rossi. Percy? Percival, is that Percival Young?
There is indeed, Percival. Yeah, good afternoon, Ryan. Good afternoon, Rassie. I'm Jacques. Rassie, kan ek dit in Afrikaans vir jammer ding om jou doen? Net ter opsomming asseblief, Rassie. Verduidelik ons net wat die situasie is. Rassie, kan ek net vra oor, ek vra my met my ervaring klein bietjie met ander sporte, is die spelers wat jy genoem het, is hulle in geheel, is hulle gemaklik daarmee dat hulle identiteit bekend gemaak word? Is dit iets wat hulle met hulle bespreek het? En net ter opsomming, wat die situasie is en wat die pad vorm is. Jacques, kan ek dan vra vir jou net moontlik vra, hierdie drie spelers wat nou wel genoem is, sou hulle, was hulle enigszins in oorweging geweest vir moontlik die eerste toets teen Georgië? Baie dankie.
Ja, persie, nee, dit sal, weet, ons is 'n nasionale span, en ons het maar dit is soos verkoue, die manne kan griep gekry, dit is nie asof die ouens iets verkeerd gedoen het, en dit is hoekom ons die name bekend stel, die ouens kon dit enige plek gekry het, so ek dink nie daar is iets duisters of so wat die ou moet wegsteek nie, ek is seker daarvan, as jy nou met Sebo en die manne praat, dit is maar net bad luck, jy kan so hard probeer as wat jy wil, as jy op die verkeerde plek, op die verkeerde tyd iets gebeur, dan kan jy, soos verkoue kan jy het kry, dit is net obviously wat ons wil seker maak, dat ons so veilig moontlik is, vir die Brits en Ierse leeuw, so, ja, nee, ons, ek ken nie die reels met die ander sportsoorte nie, maar ons is gemakkelijk dat die ouwens het weet, ons gaat die probleem daarmee nie, en dan, ja, Jacques, ek dink, was daar nog een vraag by my persie, of was dit al Jacques?
Die impak van die reding op die reding?
Ja, net die impak is basis, ons sou vandag geoefen het, en vandagse oefening is op hierdie stadium afgestel, is afgestel, ons allemaal wacht net in ons kamers, daar is een medische advieskomitee, wat bestaande uit Leeuws mense, en SA Rugby mense, en weet, ons gee basis vir hulle die statistieke deur, hulle kyk na die infeksie, en hulle kyk na spesifieke sake, en hulle kom terug en sê, manne, luister hier so, van morgen af kan julle normaal oefen, of weet jy, sit hierdie ouens in quarantaine, of doen Y en Z, en ons wacht nou maar net vir die nuus, en ons weet nie die heel beste is om eerder allemaal nou in die kamers te sit, en die heel veiligste wees, omdat ons dink, ons sal 100% seker, wanneer hulle kan sê ons kan oefen, sal ons kan teruggaan na oefening toe, en hopelik is dit môre, as dit die môre is, en as dit die dag gaan na, maar ons het 45 spelers hier so, en op die stadion is net 3 positief getoets, en redelik seker of van 1 of 2 van hulle kan dalk vals positief wees, of dalk iemand wat vorige keer COVID gehad het, wat dalk net nog tekens wys, ons is redelik gemaklik dat, afhangende van, obviously wat die komitee sê, dat ons week gaan kan oefen, en vrydag gaan ons speel.
Ja, Pissie, en jou vraag aan my was hulle beskikbaar. Ek dink die twee, ek praat van Herschel en ek praat van Sebu. Hulle twee was saam met ons gewees, maar Vincent het nou eers aangekom. So Vincent het nie saam met ons gewerk, so ek dink het sou moeilik vir hom gewees het, maar ons het nou nog nie die span gekies en bekend gestel nie, so dit sou moeilik gewees het om hom om in die mix in te kom, hy moes eerst deur sy mediese goedjies gaan en alles, maar die ander twee was definitief in lyn en verkiesbaar gewees.
Thank you, Jacques. I think that's an important question for the total audience on call. If I can ask you very briefly, just to translate and to give that answer in English, it related to whether the three players would have been in contention for the first test match. Jacques, if you can oblige.
Yes, so Sebu and Herschel, they were part of our training camp in Bloemfontein, so they have worked with us a bit, so they were definitely in the mix for team selection. Vincent, on the other hand, he only arrived yesterday, so yesterday into camp. So it wasn't that he wasn't up selection, but we haven't selected yet, but he hasn't worked with us for a while. So he might have been a week later. But if they were all medically fit and fit to play, I mean, all three of them were up for selection. But I think the other two definitely work with us a little bit more. And Vince wouldn't have been part for our system for quite some while.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacques. Our next question goes to Carl Fabian. Carl, are you there? Okay, we move on. You can't hear me. Then Justin Ford, you're up next.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Jacques, You guys have been in camp for 3 weeks. Obviously, certain things would have been addressed in terms of style of play and conditioning and so forth. Not being able to train today and the uncertainty around potentially tomorrow and come Tuesday, is that a bit of a headache? Because surely you guys are hopeful that you would want to play on Friday, but not being able to train today, is it a headache for you knowing that, you know, you're missing out on a particular session with the team?
Yeah, I think it's not ideal in terms of we would have loved to just go on as normal, you know, do our normal training today and have the week flow as we would have planned it. But I think the important thing is that with COVID and with how the environment are changing, I think to be adaptable is key, you know. So it happened. It is what it is. We want to stay safe. We want to keep our team as safe as possible. We want to keep the Lions safe, as safe as possible. So I think the key thing is to be as adaptable and have to make plans on the run. And that's what we're doing.
Rayan, can I add to that, please?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so guys and ladies, if this is on the call, I think basically if we remind ourselves that, you know, on Friday to play against Georgia, there must be 23 COVID-free negative tested Springbok players. So although it disrupts our training sessions and surely it's not ideal, but I can remember, I think it was England who got Matthew Proud who was positive and he couldn't coach. And I think Eddie was positive or something like that. You know, so it's something that happens all over the world. You know, I think Fiji with the Autumn Cup. So this is not something totally new. A lot of our players here who's played for clubs in the Premiership and who's part of provincial teams has gone through this. It's actually the first time for myself and Jock experiencing this because we haven't coached provincial or Premiership rugby currently in this environment. But I think if people just think clearly, you know, we basically have to put 23 fit Springbok players on the park Friday. We've got 45 in camp. And obviously there's protocols that we will follow. But that's why I don't think the test match is in any way threatened. And then, you know, it's our challenge worth knowing that we haven't played for a while and now we got some 3 proper weeks under our belts. But now listen, the last week has been disruptive and, you know, we have to play it as we see and play it on the run. So fairly confident about that. Although it's disruptive, but many national coaches and provincial coaches or franchise coaches had to handle that in the last 18 months.
Thank you, Rashi. I have 4 hands up and they were all of media that asked questions previously, so I'd just like to get an indication whether you have a new question. Mark Gleason?
Yes, sir. I want to just ask about Pollard, who obviously was a concern some time ago with injury, but we haven't really heard much about how he's doing in how he's done in the camp and since he came and coming back from Montpellier and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, as fans, we're all worried about him. Is he going to be our star again?
I don't know if he must train his way into starting and being in contention. But now Mark is training well and he hasn't missed a training session since he's joined us. So yeah, things are going. He looks good. Good shape.
Thank you, Jock. Craig Ray.
Yes, hi. Thanks. Maybe Rassi or Jacques. I'm not sure who. The fact that 2 of the players were in camp with you that are positive, one's from the outside, so we can sort of understand how that could happen. Are you a little bit confused as to how 2 players in the camp tested positive after, I presume, you've been going through fairly strict COVID protocols in Bloemfontein and on the way to Joburg?
No, it's like getting the flu, you know. So, I don't think, like the guy coming from the outside, you know, Vincent's coming from abroad. So how do you explain a guy just flying and then landing and where did he pick up before he came to us, you know? So, and he was tested on that side negative before he got into the plane. You know, I think that's what everybody will always try to find out in all cases. Our local boys, as we said, we were 3 weeks in camp. We're doing 3 tests a week, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And then just because we're officially reassembling, you know, we now did a PCR test, which obviously we all know, all the public, you all know what that entails. And that returned 3 positive cases. So how it happens is hell. I mean, the guys have been, you know, reassembled now. It can be at home, it can be in a plane, it can be, you know, as he opened the door, I mean, it can be anywhere. It's definitely not something that happened in camp where the guys did something wrong, you know. So I can't tell you where. I would love to know, and then we can stop it, but I don't know where it happened.
But I mean, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of alarm, but the reality is the bio bubble's doing what it's supposed to do. It picked up cases before you went into the bubble. I mean, yes, the cricketers had exactly the same thing against England in December, where two guys didn't enter the bubble.
Correct. Yes. And are you agreeing and saying, yes, that it's doing its job and we're finding out?
Yeah, I agree. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Right?
Yes. And that's why we're not 100%. And that's why we're not sitting here moaning and making plans how we can virtually coach for a day or two until we get onto the park. And we know if something like that happens in a British and Irish camp, you know, they will follow the same protocol and things will happen to them maybe. And they will have to go into isolation or whatever the case may be. But, you know, we've been fortunate to be vaccinated. We just want to make sure that other people are safe, and whenever we can be back on the field, we're ready for that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rashi. We probably have time for two or three questions, and before we come to you, Percy, for Afrikaans, I assume at the end. So we'll go to Adnan Mohammed. Adnan?
Thanks, Rayan, Rashi, and Jacques. Just away from the COVID thing, just on the British and Irish lines, the game yesterday, just your thoughts, both of you, just first Russia and then Shah, the game against Japan.
Okay, I'll go first. Thanks. Nice to hear from you. Obviously, everybody knows about the injuries and the replacements. I think that will be disruptive. You know, I think the closer it is to a tour or to matches, to a series, the tougher it is to handle. But then again, you're going to have that in the first. We can have that on Friday against Georgia. So Alwyn is a big loss for them. Conor Murray being appointed new captain, you know, we know him well. Obviously, he's a player that can do the job for them. I think Jock can talk about the game itself. But if you look at that Lions squad, and although they weren't together so much, you know, being together 1 week and not having some guys available in the Premiership final, Japan is a side we struggle to beat. So, you know, I think they've got rhythm quite quickly. But they'll build up and we'll see how they do against the Lions next weekend. I think it's going to be great, great test matches and midweek games against them and the SAA game. I can't wait to see that. No jockey.
Yeah, from my side, I thought they really hit their straps. Like Rassi said, I thought they hit their straps early on. And I think that probably speaks to Warren being on his third tour. I mean, he's got four countries that he has to unite, they have to align. And I thought he did. We thought that was one of the strengths, you know, of Warren being there, having been involved in four tours, being head coach in three. He's probably and successful tours, if I can say, as a head coach. He probably had worked out that formula on how to get people aligned, and I think you could see that clearly on Saturday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Adnan. Thank you. Coaches, and now we go to Motsidisi. Hi there.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon to the coaches as well. Everyone on the call. Sorry, Adnan stole my question. So it's already been answered, but maybe this one to Jacques. What is it about this game that you have drawn out as Springbok coach going into the test? Is there anything that you've picked up that you know you now have to focus on going into the rest of the series?
No, Mots, probably that they are four countries' best players of the best joined together. I mean, that's why they are quality rugby players. The squad that is selected is a well-balanced squad with a lot of quality around the board, and there's still a couple of guys that needs to get into the squad. So we will have to make sure that we do our homework well. And we have to make sure that we are on top of our game when we play them. It's going to be a nice challenge. And like Rassi said, Mots, I think it's one we looking forward to. And it's going to be proper tests. You know, that's why they call it a test match, because we will be tested on various levels. And we're very much looking forward to it.
Thank you. We'll take one more English question and then we'll wrap up with Percy with a possible Afrikaans question at the end. And Ben Coles, good afternoon.
Hi, both. Good afternoon. Just a quick one on Conor Murray and him being appointed tour captain. Why do you think he's a good appointment, and could you see those sort of leadership qualities there when you were at Munster with him?
Is it Jock or myself?
Either of you, or both, actually, would be great. Thanks.
Jock, you can go first.
I enjoyed working with Conor Murr, as he's known. He's a no-nonsense guy in terms of not lots of bells and whistles, and he's to the point, and he just gets the job done, and he's brilliant at what he does. And it was a privilege working with him. We lost him at the back end of our season at the back end of 2017. When we played in our semi-final against Saracens. Not to say that things would have been different, but he's a big loss, and we felt it when he wasn't there. So I think that's probably what Warren and them, I can't talk for them, but what you see in that guy is a steady head. He's got a good skill set. People enjoy him. I think he's a great tour captain.
Yeah, no, sure. I don't really have anything to add there. Jacques summed it up. It's interesting, the whole thing, you know. There's so many guys that we were involved with or coached, or even, you know, Tyke Byrne that was drafted late. We actually signed just before we got to Munster, when we got back to South Africa. So it's going to be so interesting, you know. You look at all of those players. I mean, it feels so bad for Alwyn, but I remember he also came back from injury when we started coaching Munster, and the difference that he made in that team there. He will definitely be a loss. But Al Murr and all the other guys, I mean, there's a Toje, there's so many other leaders here. So, yeah, no, we know we're in for a tough one. I think it's a good appointment.
Thank you, gents. Percy, come on, let's off with you. Let's conclude with you, Percy. Your question.
Ek sê vir jou baie dankie, Ryan Adrianse. Rassie, kan ek jou net vra, en dan kom dit vra vir Jacob wel. Rassie, ek is bekommerd dat hierdie vraag moontlik onregverdig teen jou is, want ek dink dis die vraag wat ek vir julle administrateur van SRK moet vra, maar ek gaan dit tog probeer tog. Rassie, kan ek jou vra, word julle, ek wil bietjie as Devils Advocate speel nou, as 'n opvolg op Kriek Reise vraag. Julle is 'n Springbok groep, is julle van vandag af, is julle in 'n harde bioborrel, of word spelers toegelaat om huisies te gaan mettertyd, meneer? Julle was verlede week nog laas in Bloemfontein gewees. Die spelers was natuurlik huis toe gewees en nou kom hulle terug. Is dit nie waar dalk mondelik die infeksies mondelik kom plaasvind nie? En van ek vra die vraag in die lig van julle Unis ook byvoorbeeld. Die Unis is in harde bioborrels, tensy jy my anders kan bewys. Is daar nie 'n risiko dat van die spelers by Unis mondelik ook die virus kan optel nie? Jacques, my vraag is jou net in kortlis Afrikaans. Wat het julle wyser geword gister uit die Britse Lewis se wedstryd teen Japan, meneer, asseblief, as Springbokke?
Ja, Percy, ek gaan jou vraag so antwoord, want ek dink jy's korrek, man. Dit is goeters wat baie tegnies is en wat moeilik is om baie keer te verduidelik. Maar kom maar, die basiese beginsel is, jy weet, Exeter en Harlequins het gister in 'n game gespeel. En hulle spelers, Johnny Brits en Ursel Lewis toer, vanaand op 'n vlug. Jy weet, so, omdat spelers op 'n toetsing regime is, of 'n toetsing program is, en 3 keer 'n week getoets word, is dit juist die ding. Jy weet, daar's verskillende toetse wat gedoen word, en dan as jy weer as 'n groot squad assemble, dan word jy die PCR-toets gedoen. En dis hoekom ek dink, soos, ek dink het was Maak gewees, of Kry, iemand het gesê dat die setup of die stelsel baie goed werk. En ek dink die stelsel werk baie goed, jy weet. Ek dink daar's nog wys dat 3 ouens moontlik is. Ek is redelik seker en hoop daar is 'n vals positief hier en daar, maar net soos jy weet, wie kan ons vat? Stuart Hawk gister gespeel het vir Exeter en hy gaan nou in die Brits en Ierse Leeuws kamp, en jy weet, Exeter was definitief nie in 'n hard bubble gewees nie, en maar daar is soveel maatreëls en toetsing wat in plek is, juis om seker te maak dat 'n mens nie iets onverantwoordeliks en gevaarliks doen nie. So my antwoord is nee, dis reg oor die wêreld dieselfde, en die Brits en Ierse Leeuws toer het gister begin toe Japan gespeel het teen die Leeuws. En ja, ons almal is maar onder dieselfde protokolle, en dis definitief nie iemand wat iets fout buite die lyn gedoen het.
Persie, van my kant af, ja, wat is wys geword het van die Britse en Ierse Leeuws, is dat mens kan duidelik sien, ek dink een van die groot challenges wat die Britse en Ierse Leeuws het, is om die 4 lande by mekaar te kry en so gou as moontlik belyn te kry, en ek dink dit spreek boekdele van Warren Gatland Jy kan sien dat hy op 4 Britse en Ierse leeuwstoere was en dat hy in 3 die hoof africhter was. So hy het dit baie vinnig reg gekry. Ek het gedink hulle was goed belyn gister in die wedstryd wat hulle gespeel het en ja, al wat dit vir my wys geraak het is dit bewys maar net weer jy speel teen 4 lande se bestes van die bestes. So ons sal moet seker maak dat dat ons so hard as moontlik werk om so goed as moontlik voorberei te wees want dit gaan presies wees wat die naam sê, dit gaan toetse wees en ons sal maar net seker moet maak dat ons goed voorberei is op alle vlakke.
You know, there are times where before you say something, you gotta think hard and deep, because there's a greater possibility, it is a reflection of either the psyche, the mentality, the character in the person, or it reflects a bit of background. And for fear of exposing where you come from, you think twice and consider perspective.
In your face.
In the olden days when Jesus Christ went on through his lessons, he was never specific in his references. He would always use symbols. Because whenever a symbol is used in a process where something has to be rectified, none of us gets consumed. If I were to refer to somebody who would, hey, Mfowethu Mnyama, I would put it like that because I am. But if I were not, then I'd put it in a way that has respect in what I'm referring to. I hope you understand.
I don't.
Hi, Sean. Sean, obviously the game was scheduled for 7 p.m. on Wednesday against the Western Province. Then obviously we've heard of the announcement from the president regarding the hours, the curfew hours, which is businesses have to stop at 8 p.m. Business activity have to stop at 8 p.m. Now, have you guys probably consulted with the SA Rugby regarding maybe rescheduling the time earlier on Wednesday?
Nick, at this time now, we've got no clarification on the time of kickoff, but I presume that it will be moved, and if so, it wouldn't have any impact on our preparation at all.
Jan, you can go ahead.
Hi, Sean. Yeah, follow up to that. Are you guys formally in a bubble there, looking forward to Wednesday's game and the following next Wednesday's game against the Lions?
Yeah, our message to the players this morning, Jan, was that, you know, we'd like them to treat life as if they're in self-isolation. So they're basically coming to the stadium and going home. We know that there will be, you know, consequences for the guys that don't stick to the protocols because, you know, unfortunately they might miss out on a lifetime opportunity of playing against the British and Irish Lions next week. But at the same time, you know, we want rugby to continue in this country and we've got to try and be squeaky clean as far as our behaviour outside of the stadium is concerned.
Michael, go ahead.
Sean, how preparation's gone? I mean, bye weeks are always a bit of a disruption, but it hasn't been a significantly long one, not a whole week. So did you guys actually have a break, given that it's only kind of second and third week? Presumably not.
Yes, Mark. You know, we trained last week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, as we would normally in a match week, and we've got all our preparation done for Western Province and gave the guys off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They returned to training today and with really good energy and enthusiasm as always, and got on with the job. And today was just a bit of a recapping on what we had done last week in preparation for Wednesday's game.
Did they change the bio bubble protocols? I was under the impression initially it was 10 days, but I get the feeling that there's been a change. Is it now 7 days?
It's actually 6 days, Gavin. You know, we go into quarantine on Friday. You know, once we'll land in Joburg and then PCR tests will be done. And once we've got the results of those PCR tests, we'll go into the hotel under strict supervision and lockdown. Allowed one training on Saturday and then back into the hotel and then a training on Monday and a captain's run on Tuesday. And then obviously following PCR tests on the Monday as well as Wednesday prior to the game, you know, we'll return to Durban on Thursday.
Okay,
Sean, Mike here. Sure, so much going on in South African rugby at the moment, so much uncertainty, COVID at the box. You guys are playing next week, will the venue be changed? How difficult is it as a rugby coach to concentrate on beating Western Province on Wednesday night?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement at the moment. Yeah, and then COVID, obviously, a little bit of a spanner in between. But, you know, like I said, I think the guys have learned to take it day by day and deal with disruptions. You know, when the second wave was here over Christmas, you know, we were dealt a few raw cards as far as that's concerned, and we were able to get through it. So nothing's changed as far as that's concerned. I think the most important thing for everyone here is to stay safe and to obey the protocols. In saying that, you know, I think, you know, with the British and Irish Lions being the talk of South African rugby at the moment, you know, it's important that the Sharks stay focused on the job at hand, and that is to reach the playoffs of the Currie Cup.
Sean, just
in
case you didn't know this already, it's been raining. Last night here, I mean in Cape Town obviously, and I'm just looking at the weather forecast and it looks like it's going to still be raining probably a little Wednesday. Does that make any difference to you, the fact that you'll be going into a wet weather game? I don't think you've played one of those for a while.
No, you know, we've got beautiful weather here in Durban. I think it's 28 degrees today and really hot outside. So, yeah, it will be a bit of a change for us. I've just caught a glimpse of the junior bock game and I can see the torrential rain then playing on a muddy pitch in Stellenbosch. So, yeah, we've obviously got a plan that can suit both types of conditions, and we're used to that, and I'm sure you guys have all been witness to it. So if we need to move into a kicking game, we're able to do so. But in saying that, you know, depending on the state of the pitch, the rain does make it a lot easier to handle the ball than the humidity in Durban. So we don't want to take a one-dimensional approach to the game.
Nathan, go ahead.
Sean, I'm sure you probably watched that game between the Japanese versus the Lions. Can you give us a brief review of that game and what you've taken out of that?
Yeah, I think that what stood out for me was the intensity that the game was played, and how physical the Lions actually are. You know, they every time they carried the ball, they were dominant. In saying that, they did give opportunities to the Japanese, and I think if they're a little bit more accurate in the execution, you know, maybe it might have been different when the scoreline got to 28-10. I think they had two more opportunities to score tries and unfortunately weren't able to do so. But yeah, I think the physicality and obviously the quality of the individuals that you're playing against, you know, is going to be a challenge. But in saying that, you know, I think the local franchises are going to, you know, go hammer and tongs at the opposition to try and turn one over the British and Irish Lions. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how well they settle in South Africa and playing in different conditions as well.
Jan, you next up.
Sean, I know the focus is, as it is, justifiably on the Lions and all the games against them. But what do you expect this week? I mean, guys, we're playing each other so much. Is there anything different that you can expect on Wednesday from Western Province, the Stormers for that matter?
Yes, Jan, I think so. As we saw in the last 10 minutes of the game against the Lions, you know, they got a lot of reward by keeping ball in hand. So I also think, you know, in the first game that they played, you know, they're a little bit more adventurous. And obviously the scoreboard allowed them to play a little bit more freely in the last 10 minutes because they were so far down on the scoreboard. But, you know, once again, as Gavin said, you know, the weather down in Cape Town is unfavourable. So I expect them to kick it a little bit more than what they normally do. You know, they don't play much rugby in their own half. You know, everything from turnover, they've been kicking long, which does give you counter-attack opportunities. And I suppose it's to get the balance right on when to run the ball back in those conditions or whether to kick it back.
Ken, you can proceed.
Oh, hi, Sean. Thanks so much. It's okay. Jan asked my question.
Can I go, Navash?
Go ahead, Mike.
Sean, Kerwin back in the team, he's had a little bit of a break. Can you just tell us where he's at, kind of mentally, obviously, to cope with a lot of disappointment, and I guess the word from you would be, you know,
know, to get back out there and show what he could do. Where is Kerwin at?
Yeah, it's great to have Kerwin back in the mix. We did give him a break. Everyone goes through disappointments in rugby and sport for that matter. So, yeah, it's not the first time this has happened to him. So, yeah, he's over what's happened. It's an opportunity now for him to represent the Sharks, and also an opportunity for put his hand up for selection, you know, should the opportunity arise throughout the series. As we know, rugby is the nature... it's the nature of the game that there will be injuries, so he's got to make sure that he puts in a good performance to show Rassie and Jacques that he can add value to the Springboks cause.
Ken, go ahead.
Can I go? Ken. No, I do have one now. Sean, using your captain Pepsi Buthelezi, that's obviously a bit of a blow. Is it a bad concussion, or do you think just sitting out this week?
Yeah, just more that he didn't pass the protocols. Yeah, he's almost there. I presume that he'll be ready for the British and Irish Lions. It's just not worth taking the risk. You know, he feels 100%, but obviously on that test he didn't pass all the various categories. But it's not serious, and we hopefully he'll be back and able to travel with us on Friday.
It's the second game in a row where you've gone with a 6-2 split on the bench. Is that a horses for courses thing because of the opposition you're playing, or is that your policy going forward? And the second one, it's also good to see Dylan actually back on the bench. I see he's obviously covering flank this week. You've got Dad covering
Hooker.
Are you still seeing him as a flank going forward?
Gavin is in a transition phase at the moment. He is up for selection as a hooker as well. It just turned out that through Pepsi's injury, as well as having Henko Fenter out, that we needed him to fulfill a role on the bench. So, he's going to be working really hard to get his fundamentals right and his position-specific skills right to perform at hooker. So we're not going to take that out of the equation. It's just for this week that there has been a gap that's open there. Just as far as the 6-2 split's concerned, we just felt that the impact of an extra guy on the forwards would add more value than an impact of one of the others on the bench from a backline perspective. It's also good for us going into this long campaign that we're able to change our forwards around from week to week. And obviously going into next week, in a very short turnaround from the British and Irish Lions to playing at home against the Golden Lions, we felt that maybe having both packs that are busy playing will be beneficial to us from a conditioning point of view. So, we could swap them around from game to game, having six playing and then six on the bench and then vice versa.
Thanks. Next question.
Yes, can I go? Adnan, yeah?
Adnan, go ahead, followed by Michael.
Thanks, Navashi. Sean, I just wanted to ask you, you spoke about the news for Stimbalani Bowley. It's a guy that impressed me, especially with his ball carries, and Gavin mentioned earlier about the weather. How important is it to have a guy like that carry the ball strongly? And also, the name of Kerwin Bosch was mentioned with the kicking game, especially in that kind of weather.
Yeah, very important. I think Bawley's playing his best rugby since he's been at the Sharks, and obviously he's had a little bit of an extended run now, which is good for him and good with his match fitness. One thing about Tembalani Bawley is that he has ways of influencing the game, whether it be in a maul or a maul attack or maul stoppage. His carries are good, but he's also a really good defender. He's playing really well at the moment. He's going to be captaining the forwards on Wednesday night. So when you've got a bulldozer like that carrying for you at seven, I suppose in the wet weather, it does add value to you. But at the same time, obviously, Kerwin's boot will be a huge factor. He kicks the ball really well, as you all know, and that could be the deciding factor in a game on Wednesday night where the conditions won't be suitable for running rugby.
Sure, it's still early days in the competition. Maybe you have spoken about the fact that dropping a game is not going to be all doom and gloom because there's plenty of time to catch up, but you don't want to play catch up at the end of it and hope for results to go your way. So keeping it, you're the only unbeaten team in the tournament so far, but it is, as I said, it is early days. But you know, just your thoughts on kind of winning every game and not having to worry later down the line.
As we know, every game is important, and whatever points you can accumulate now, certainly helps relieve the pressure later on. But in saying that, I've said it always before, and you're probably bored of hearing it. We judge ourselves on our performance, and we're certainly going out to win every single game that we play. But obviously there's processes that have to be in place to be able to do that. And I think consistent selection is one thing, but at the same time, we do have opportunities to grow our depth in our squad in a longer competition. And I wouldn't say that, when you make changes, the Sharks aren't going to perform. We've got players here that you've seen in the preparation games that can make the step up to Curry Cup and did perform well. So it'll be great opportunity for those youngsters and individuals to put their hands up, to earn regular places in the Pro 16 and maybe in the important games later on in the Curry Cup.
Sean, I suppose this is really a question I should ask you when we've got fans back, because it will probably imply more there. But you have played a competitive game against the Stormers at Cape Town Stadium now. How different is it going there? I mean, how different is the experience going to Cape Town Stadium compared to going to Geneva?
Yeah, I think from a spectator's point of view, and I've coached in both, the crowds are really close to the field, but that doesn't matter for us now because there aren't any. So I think our guys really enjoyed what Cape Town Stadium had to offer. It's really a world-class stadium and a really modern stadium. So the facilities, in the cloakrooms and the changing rooms are of the highest standard. So that's always refreshing for our players. But in saying that, I think the experience of our guys playing in that stadium and obviously knowing that the Sevens had done really well there and having Vadnakok in our team, it was certainly a motivation for them, something that they looked forward to, and also a nice refreshing change. I don't think anyone will forget the traditional values and what Newlands Stadium holds, but I think in life there's a time to move on, and they've certainly got a world-class stadium available to them. So our guys enjoy being part of that, and fortunately we had a good result there the last time.
I said her from the city, so her got to be witty witty. She said him from the country, so him got to be funky funky. Feel like a bomb.
is cheese, there are rats. Wherever there are rats, there are cats. Wherever there are cats, there are dogs. If you got the dogs, you got bitches. Bitches always out to put their paws on your riches. If you got riches, you got glitches. If you got glitches in your life computer, turn it off and then reboot her, now you back on. Can't just put the cap on the old bottle. Once you pop it, that'll spoil it, gone and drink it and enjoy it. Oh, mama, I'm a millionaire.
She just has time, no time, just